To everyone, and those of you watching live streaming also, we thank you for your faithfulness. And we're in Romans chapter 9. This is the first lesson that will deal with chapter 9 through 11 as Paul deals with the Jewish issues that he deals with in these three chapters. The emphasis on chapter 9 is Israel's past election of God. They were chosen of God as a nation, beginning with Abraham. And this was known to God before the foundations of the earth, that he would choose out and build a nation through which the Lord Jesus Christ would come. And Christ is the seed of Abraham and the seed of David, who was the king. And he is. These things were known of God all along. In chapter 9, beginning with verse 1, I'll read for you. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Thank you, Father. We see that Paul makes it clear in Romans 9 and 10 and 11 that salvation is by grace through faith, that the nation of Israel were not guaranteed salvation just because they were born as Jews or just because they were descendants of Abraham. Abraham had two wives and a concubine. The concubine was Hagar, through which Ishmael was born, the first one. And then through promise, his wife Sarah gave birth to a child in her old age, which was Isaac. But then after Sarah's death, he married again a woman named Keturah and had a number of children through her. A number of nations in that part of the earth claim Abraham as their father. The Arabs, the Edomites, the people whose countries join one another there, all these Muslim countries today that look to Abraham as being their father. He may be their father through Ishmael, but not through Isaac and Jacob, which is where the nation of Israel came. Look back for a moment at Romans 4 and verse number 3 through 5. Romans 4 and verse 3 through 5. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham was before the law was given to Moses. Abraham was singled out. His brother is called a Syrian. And Abraham was of that part of the world, and God called him to come and follow him, and he would take him to a land of promise that he would give unto his descendants. But as you know the story, they were in Egypt for 430 years before they went to the land that God had promised to give to Abraham. God knew all about these things, but God was not in a hurry about them coming to pass. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So Abraham was a believer. He was a man of righteousness because he had faith in God. He believed God's word. He believed God's promises. And that's the basis of our faith. We believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on Calvary's cross, and so we can be saved by grace through faith. And faith is required. The racial identity is not going to save us. Who our mom and dad are is not going to save us. We've got to have personal faith in the living God. And the Jews had to have the same. In chapter 10, Paul writes on Israel's present rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as Messiah. in chapter 10 and verse 3 says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." The Jewish problem was they got caught up in the law and tried to keep the law as perfect as they knew how, thinking that was going to earn them a place with God. And it was faith all along that they needed, not to be perfectly keeping the law. And so in rejecting Christ, who was the Messiah, John 1:11 said he came unto his own and his own received him not. The nation of Israel as a nation did not receive him. And so they suffered because of that. Israel sought to establish their own righteousness through the giving of the law and through the works that they did and the things they did not do, when all along God wanted them to believe him by faith. In chapter 11, Paul writes on how God has not cast away the nation of Israel, even though they failed as much as they have. But he will oversee a future restoration of the nation in the future. In the tribulation period, when the rapture takes place and we go to heaven to be with the Lord, God will then begin to deal with Israel in a new and different way and call them together in the land. And they'll have lots of trouble there with the Antichrist and the battle of sin and all that. But Christ will return and defend them and set up his kingdom. And then we will rule and reign with him in his kingdom for 1,000 years upon this earth. It'll be a glorious thing. And that's not the end. Then he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth where we'll dwell with him for all eternity. As far as Israel is concerned, there is a remnant that is reserved unto God even now. We meet Jewish people from time to time that are saved, that are active in a church, a Bible-believing church like ours. And they are part of a remnant that God has reserved to himself. He pictures as it was in Elijah's time, when Elijah thought that he was the only one left, that all of Israel had turned away from God and was worshiping idols. And God said to him, "I have reserved to myself 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal nor worshiped his image." And still at this time, there is a remnant of Jewish believers. But in the future, believers by the multitude of Jews will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will become preachers of righteousness in the tribulation time. Now, all of these three chapters, we see, first of all, the faithfulness of God magnified. God's been faithful all along with mankind. He was faithful with Israel, even though time after time after time they would fail and turn away from him and forget about him. Bob was praying about how we are as Christians. Sometimes we make those same kind of errors in our life. And Israel made those errors over and over, but yet God was faithful. And all of this magnified his faithfulness. The righteousness of God is revealed. God never ceases to be righteous. God is always perfect and holy, and he was with Israel through all those times. The justice of God's dealing with man, with a wayward people, with a sinful people in the wilderness when they provoked him over and over. I always say that Israel was like Baptists in the wilderness. They kept provoking God and complaining about their leadership, you know, complained, blamed things on Moses when it really wasn't Moses' fault. It wasn't God's fault. It was their fault. What they needed to do most of all was pray and ask God to help them, not complain and seek other methods of satisfying their needs. The grace of God in salvation to those who believe, whether it's Jew or Gentile, has always been the same. It was with Abraham, and it is with us today. We are children of Abraham by faith, by being identified with him in the same way through faith. The Jews can be racially descendants of Abraham, or the Arabs can be racially descendants of Abraham, but unless they have faith in God, they're not identified with Abraham in his faith. So the relation of the Jew to the gospel of righteousness, previously in Romans, Paul dealt with the Jews and the gospel. The nation had the scriptures committed unto them. The Jewish people were given prophets and the written scriptures, and they treated them as very holy as they should. And they were committed to keep these and protect these and bring them with them as they traveled on the journey. The writings of Moses is the first five books of the Bible, sometimes simply referred to as the law and referred to as the Pentateuch, meaning five books of the Bible. So the nation had the scriptures committed to them. All unrighteous or lost are so because they have not believed by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the racial ethnicity or anything of that nature that has them saved or lost. Abraham is used to reveal he was a man of faith, and it was his faith, not his works. It wasn't the law because God hadn't given the law then, but his works and his sacrifices, that was not what made him righteous before God. It was his faith. In Romans 4 and 1 through 3, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham was a believer, and a person in the Old Testament could believe on God by faith as Abraham did and become a believer in God. And in the same way we call being saved, they had a relationship with God. It was not based on them fulfilling all the works of the tabernacle and the temple and the sacrifices and all those things. Those things should be done because they were being obedient to God after they became a believer by faith. Just like we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, and then baptism is a step of obedience after we're saved to identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection to the world around us as a witness to him. Now, Abraham's used to reveal he was a man of faith. Paul could say to the people in Rome, he was burdened for them to be saved, to make sure they knew the Lord. He wanted to see his Jewish people believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Savior. And Paul sat where they sit. There was a time when he was a persecutor of Christian people, a persecutor of the church, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, strong believer in the Jewish law and the rituals, but he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So now he's trying to get them to understand they needed to believe by faith in order to be saved. All the descendants of Abraham are not Israel. They are various countries that claim Abraham as their father. And Paul reveals in his heart his unbelieving kinsmen according to the flesh, and he has the knowledge of where they are in their beliefs and faith because he was once as they are now, and he understands where they're coming from. You talk with people who you identify with your past life with how they're living now. And you know what they're going through, and you know what they're doing, and you know the sins that have them burdened down because there was a time when maybe you were there or your loved ones were there. And then God saved you and changed you and delivered you from those things. And so you can be a witness to them with an identification. Paul said he sought to become all things to all men that he might by all means save some. And we ought to try to do the same thing, identifying with people and what they're going through. Paul and Moses both, Moses is interceded for the nation of Israel when they were in rebellion against the Lord and God would have destroyed them. And Moses interceded on their behalf. He told God to take his name out of the book if he was going to destroy the whole nation. And Paul is saying the same thing to the nation of Israel, that he is burdened for them so much that he could wish himself accursed from Christ in order for them to be saved. And Paul and Moses both had a burden laid upon them for their people, And they had a job given to them by God, a calling to take the message to them. With Moses, it was the law. And with Paul, it's the New Testament epistles and the church dispensation, the age of grace, the age of the church that Paul is now revealing to the Jew and Gentile who can be one if they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God lays on us a necessity, Paul said. Paul said, I preach the gospel, but it's not me that I have anything to boast about. It's a necessity that's been laid upon me. And you as Christians, God lays something on you at times to pray for a certain person, to witness to a certain person, to be concerned for a certain person or grieved over a certain person. And you're carrying a burden for them. And you want to tell them about the Lord and ask God to save them. A compassion toward the lost. Imagine how some of our missionaries, one of the guys prayed tonight mentioned the missionaries going to difficult places in difficult times that we live in today. Our missionaries, the Stalkups, are in Queens, New York. And who they witness to and live among are the Afghan Muslims. They were brought here as refugees to the United States from Afghanistan and settled a large group of them in Queens, New York. And they could not get permission with visas to go to Afghanistan to preach. So they've gone to the second best thing. They've gone to Queens, New York, where there's a large settlement of Afghani Muslims. And they've trained themselves and educated themselves on how to try to reach these people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They found a building and they're setting it up as a not a church, but like a mission station to reach out to these people, to be able to make connection with them and to be able to help them and set up English classes and things of that nature that'll be beneficial to them, that will give them an inroad with them to give them the gospel, and hopefully some will be saved. Brother Swante and Bob and I went to Wilmington, North Carolina, thank you, yesterday, and had a great meeting. There were three preachers. The last preacher was Brother Tom Wallace, who we support. Brother Tom Wallace has closed the church he was trying to start in Hickory, North Carolina, and he has gotten back into evangelism and his radio ministry to Muslims. And he's been several times to Queens, New York, to help the Stalkups with all of the inside information he has and materials he has in reaching out to the Jewish people. And they can promote the radio program that he has on about 300 radio stations. So hopefully they can hear those and hear the message in their own language to teach them how to be saved. And then the Stalkups will be there to follow up. If they have any of them contact the radio station from there, they will contact the Stalkups with those people's names and addresses and that sort of thing. The Connerups have been in Kenya, Africa for many years. They were early missionaries that we took on. He went to the same college I went to, and they came here looking for support. The church was just a few years old, and we took them on for support, and we've been supporting them all these years. And they've been in Kenya, Africa. They've built a number of churches, but his father has built so many churches, both in Ethiopia and in Kenya, and a Bible college. And now Brother Ole is over the Bible college, and he has a church, and he has about 30 churches that have been started that they look to him every time they want to ordain a man, every time they want to have homecoming, every time they have a special program or something. You know, they want Brother Connor up to be the one to come and preach and talk to them and encourage them and all of that. Plus, he's the counselor to all those people. On top of that, he teaches in the Bible college. So he's got a big job. Somebody one time wrote him and asked him, what do you do during the week? And he said, well, one thing I do is I drive about an hour and a half to get water about every 2 days. Can't drink the water where we are. We have to go and get water. And imagine live in places where you go through that kind of thing just to survive and live, and then deal with all the circumstance that you deal with. The Stuarts that we just took on are working with death in Africa, and the Bennets are working with death in Brazil. The Dietrichs are in the Solomon Islands, and the people who are the black race of people in the Solomon Islands, many of them are very uneducated island-dwelling people, and it takes something to get them to think about changing their lifestyles and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They've had a very successful beginning there, and we pray for them. Brother George Alonso and Brother Ernesto are both in Mexico with their own people. They were here in the United States. They had jobs. They were living like Americans, and they were saved, and they went through the school that Brother Bob Reed is over, and they learned to become ministers, and they went back to their own people and have started churches and are reaching them in Mexico. Ken and Carrie Lyles are getting very long in the tooth now. And they've been faithful missionaries for many, many years. Their first mission spot was Iran. And they went to Iran to reach the Persian people. And they had a desire. And their desire was never fulfilled to build a big ministry and reach a lot of souls. There were just a few that were saved each year. And they had a storefront type church building. But after they were forced to leave and could not renew their visas to stay in Iran, or people of Iran, the Persians began to leave Iran because of the problems of the Muslim religion there with the Khomeinis and their type of Muslim beliefs, Islam. And so many people flee from there to other countries. And they've gone to Germany and ministered and led more Persian people to Christ and saw them follow the Lord in believers' baptism and become discipled than they ever did the whole time they were in Iran as missionaries there. And they continue to do that through all these years. And now in their own home area, there are numerous Muslims being settled in that area, and they've had some big welcome parties for them, and they can speak in their language, and they can give them literature, and they can give them Bibles, and they can have a ministry to them. The mission field is coming to America, and the Lyles are able to continue to minister even as senior adults now in their age. I can only imagine what John O'Brien is going through in the Ukraine, rushing everywhere to stay out of the way of the bombs and the bullets, and trying to take food and Bibles to the holdouts that are staying there, and working with the military as a chaplain. And his two sons that grew up under him and his wife have become chaplains to the police departments and the military, and they're trying to reach people for Christ and give them the gospel and help with the social needs that they have in that war-torn country right now. Be the easiest thing in the world for him to say, I can't keep my wife and my two sons here any longer. We're going to have to just leave, go back to America and get jobs somewhere and get out of this place. But God's laid a burden upon them, and they're still there doing the work of the ministry. And the church that they have, they built with their own hands, with a few volunteers and their sons. They did the very work of block laying and all that sort of thing. And there were over 40 people living in that church as a place of refugee from the war-torn country in which they live. So how can they do that? Because God laid a necessity upon them. I remember Brother Elmer Deal. We called him Buona Deely. He was a missionary to the Belgian Congo. He was over there for over 25 years the first time. Communism came in and he was kicked out, and finally he was able to go back and stay about another 10 years. And the time he was out, he was a professor at Baptist Bible College. He taught missions. And Buona Deely, they couldn't pronounce Elmer Deal in the Belgian Congo. They called him Buona Deely. And he he had a burden for those people. He said when he was a student, he went to the president of the college. He said, I'm getting ready to go to the Belgian Congo to take the gospel. Can you give me some advice? He said, he looked at him and said, yeah, if you can get out of going, don't go. He said, boy, he was offended. He was shocked. And he said one day he and his wife were laying on the floor with a mattress on top of them because bullets were flying through the little village they were living in from the communist troops. And he said he thought about that if he could be doing anything else, that's what he'd be doing. But he had to be doing that because God laid that burden upon his heart. And so he stuck it out as long as he possibly could. It was only through the governmental influence that he had to leave. And he built 25 churches, every one of them, he and the village people, built by hand. He sent to America and got a book on how to make block. And they made their own cement block from mud and straw. And they got a machine to form it. And they laid the block and they put 10 roofs on it. And nobody there where they lived had a clock or a watch. And so how did they know when it was time for church? He set up a bell, and they'd ring the bell, and the people would walk and come to church. Nobody had cars or anything there. He said, and then the preachers that would come for meetings, they all got jealous. They all wanted a bell. He said he wrote 100 churches in the United States and asked, if you got a bell, send it to us. We'll put it to work for the Lord. He said Presbyterian churches, Methodist churches, Baptist churches, they all sent bells over. He said every church he had got a bell. And they'd ring that bell to know when it was time to go to church. The burden carried him through. And Paul sees the problem God has dealt graciously with in the nation of Israel in the past. And he dealt with Israel governmentally to set up the focus of the law for them to live by. But they were a rebellious people. They were a stiff-necked people is what the Bible calls them. And Paul could have been very angry with the Jews. They persecuted him greatly. In 2 Corinthians 11:24, it talks about how they beat him and persecuted him and stripes and imprisonments and jail and all that sort of thing. And what did they think of Paul? All he went through, they considered him a traitor to the nation of Israel. Paul could have been very discouraged by all that, but he was not. He was brokenhearted over them and prayed for them and wanted to see them saved. And I hope we can be that way toward the lost. It's easy to get angry at sinners. But sinners need the Lord just like you and I did before we got saved. God help us to take the word to them. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for loving us and caring for us. We pray you'll bless in the invitation and use it for your honor and glory. And Father, please bless your people for their faithfulness to come out tonight and bless them on their trip home safely. In this long prayer list, we ask you again to intervene in people's lives for Jesus' sake. Amen.